All right. So my message for today sort of follows on from last week. So if you weren't here last week, that's okay. You'll still be able to follow along, all right? But basically, the message that I have for today is called Untamed Life, The Best Is Yet To Come. All right? And that's a prophetic declaration, I guess. So I don't know what situation you find yourself in at the moment. But I just want to declare over you today that the best is yet to come.
That's right.
See, the verse that we looked at last week was Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. And I just wanted to quickly go over that because it's the starting point for this week. So it talks about how the Israelites, all the great stuff that God's done for the Israelites. And so Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. And it just lists it off. Look at these great accomplishments. God saved us and saved us and saved us again. Okay, and Israelites need reminding because I don't know if you know, but once you get saved, it's like, man, I'm never doing that again. And quite often you'll find yourself in the exact same situation you were because sometimes it takes us a while to learn. But it says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do now, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. And that was exciting. We saw that yesterday. But not only that, God's already been doing stuff in Central Otago. It's not like we've magically come. And now God's beginning to do something. There's already been great things happen in our community.
That's right.
I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. So that was that verse for you. That was that verse for last week. We did other verses. It's kind of important to speak more than one Bible verse. Otherwise, you're just putting your own spin on it, really, to be fair. But I don't know about you guys. I was going to do something embarrassing, and I'm not too sure. Who's over the age of 20?
Careful.
Okay. Who is...
Very careful.
Who is plus or minus 6 years? Because around the age of 40. So mid-30s, early 40s. Ash is like, yes, that's me, son. You cannot be older than me. It's not okay. All right, I'm 26 myself. I just wanted to see who's older than me. That's not true. But there's a couple of points in my life where you sort of sit there and you think, oh man, is this it? So one of them for me was at high school. You get to your senior year. It's Halloween. That's something slightly different. We'll talk about that in October. No, a senior year at high school, and you're doing awesome things. I don't know about you, but like high school started off as rubbish for a start and got better as it went on. And then when it got to year 13, it was awesome. Like I had great friends. I was playing sport at a high level, even though I didn't really know how. I just happened to be large, so that smashed me up the front in the scrums, and I could do that because I was large, and, you know, I'd scream, and, yeah, anyway. But you get to high school, and you get to that end of high school era, and you're sort of like going, man, this has got to be the best that it's ever going to be. And that's a great thing to, that's an okay thing to think, but actually, if you're at the peak of your life, what you're actually saying is from this point on, everything else is just going to be, we're on the downhill now. And so for you around the age of 20, there's the high school feel. Now, when it comes to getting around the age of 40, you get all the feels. So it's like, oh my goodness, you know, as a general rule, you're probably getting close to middle age, which sounds like disgustingly old, but actually it's very young, and I'm believing for that now because I'm fast approaching middle-aged. Preach it, brother. I'll be coming to you for advice, like, you know. But when it comes to that sort of thing, you get to 40 and you're starting to think about significance, like what have I achieved, what are my accomplishments? Have you guys seen the blog Humans of New York? The Humans of New York? You've never seen that Instagram?
Yes.
I should have put a... But so what it is this guy that takes photographs of people from all around the world, and then he puts like a tagline about what they were talking about when he took the photo. And anyway, there's this photo of this lady that he took, and this is what she said. I'm a psychotherapist to some of the most successful people in Holland. Anyone from Holland here today? No? No one? All right. So that become completely irrelevant. I'm a psychotherapist to some of the most successful people in Holland. My clients tend to come to me around the age of 40. They've accomplished so much, but they're still driven by this fear that they're not going to make it. And they start to ask themselves, is this going to be the rest of my life? So I'd love to speak to that today. And regardless of where you are in your life situation, you might have done some incredible things with your life. Your life might be a mess up until this point. For most of us, it's probably somewhere in between. Okay? C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He puts it so eloquently. Okay? He says, there are far, far better things ahead than any that we leave behind. And when he talks about it, he's writing to a lady that's basically on the verge of death. It is, when he wrote this, he's like 5 months away from his own death. He just didn't realize it at the time. And it's not so much a syrupy, everything's going to turn out all right. It's not so much that. It's more the fact that even if you live the most incredible life that you've ever lived, no one else has ever lived a more incredible life. Even at the point there, the best is still yet to come even then. Okay? So I don't know where you're at the moment, but I just want to declare over you, your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Whether you're on the highest mountain or going through the lowest valley, the best is yet to come. As Christians, we don't have to live in the shadow of expectations, disappointment, failures, laurels, achievements, milestones, whatever that stuff is that you're carrying, the best is yet to come. If you ain't dead, it ain't over, the best is yet to come. See, the thing is that God's way for your life is the best way. It removes regret. It removes the whole idea of missed opportunity and anxiety from the situations you face. So what we need to do is we need to involve them in our everyday life. Now, I'm not talking about I know the word that I want. I can write it down. It's the minutia, like the wee teeny tiny stuff. It's, you know, when you're coming to God for stuff, you don't necessarily have to go, God, should I have the beef or should I have the chicken? Like it's not that layer of stuff. You know, but if you want to, it can. You might get an answer, that's awesome. Shannon does that with parking. Hey, look, I'm just really praying for a park right now. I'm praying for money in the meter. Like 10 years ago, I used to hassle her for it. Now I can't because time and again, she finds a park in the meter and it's like a really small thing to show that God's faithful to our prayers. So it's like, it's begun to speak to me. Might take another 20 years, but that's okay. I think sometimes we sweat the small stuff way too much. See, the thing that we have to understand, and Paul puts it so great in the letter to the Romans, in Romans 8:28, he says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So that means that there may be some stuff that's happened in your life as a result of your decisions or other people's decisions that wouldn't necessarily be God's plan for your life. Okay, I think there's a danger that we think absolutely everything that happens, God wanted to happen to us. And I don't think that's necessarily true. Sometimes we live in a fallen world. Sometimes we're affected by our decisions and what other people's decisions are that aren't necessarily the plan that God had for us. But what we need to understand is that no matter whether it's awesome, no matter whether it's a mess, God will use that mess for the absolute utmost best good for you. Not only for you, but for those around you. Okay? So your stuff, and dealing with that stuff, actually becomes a key to unlocking other people from the stuff that they're dealing with at the moment. Okay? So in economics, we talk about opportunity cost. So opportunity cost, it's like a year 10 economics thing. Opportunity cost is the whole idea that we make choices, that because we make that choice, it actually limits our other choices. Okay, so because we've chosen this, there's a whole heap of other... Because we say yes to this, there's a whole heap of other things that we've actually said no to. Okay, so just as an example, for the simple fact that you're here at church today on a Sunday, it actually limits what else you do with your Sunday. And everything's like that. When you make a choice, you now have a different destination to your day as a result of making that choice today. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so if that's the case... What we can do, if we know that every decision that we make, you know, is going to have this effect or it's going to have that effect, what we can do is we can sometimes get bogged down with, oh my goodness, what's the right decision to make? Who's ever played Risk before? You know, the board game with the board game with like the there's wee soldiers and you've got to take over the world and stuff like that. Well, I'm a board game geek. I love board games. It's really fun. One of my favourites is a game called Settlers of Catan. If anyone wants to play that, just give me a yell. Shannon won't play it with us. She'll drink a cup of tea and talk to you while we play, but that's okay. That's all right. We're just going to pray for her for that. Just release her from that that curse. And no, sorry, no. But I had this friend. He was a pastor as well, and he was a great guy. His name was Grant Barraclough. He was an awesome dude. Like, he's such a great dude, and like really decisive when it came to leadership stuff. He was awesome. But man, if you played a board game with him, have you ever played with those people that they think every single, oh my goodness, well, if I do this, then there's going to be this thing that happens and this thing that happens. And so for me, I play board games instinctually because I'm actually just there. The board game helps me to talk in a normal way, and the board game's just the thing that we're doing. Do you know what I mean? Anyway. As a slightly introverted person, if we're playing a board game, I'm not actually talking with someone. I'm playing a board game, and then the talking comes easy. Yeah, I don't talk good. No. Anyway, so Grant used to take like 15-minute turns. So he'd be like, so it would get around, the rest of us would take 5 minutes for our turn. Grant would be like sitting there going, yeah, well, if I do this, then this is going to happen. Oh my goodness, okay, and then this is going to happen. And oh my goodness, then this is going to happen, to the point that people would stop playing board games with him. And the thing that we have to understand is that we can do that with life sometimes. Okay, in board games, it's actually called analysis paralysis. Like, you're trying to analyze absolutely everything for the absolute common good. And if we try and do that, I don't know if you notice or not, but sometimes we just don't have the processing power. We can't think of every eventuality. And then quite often what we'll do is we'll focus on the negative eventuality, and suddenly we're like putting all this energy into one particular area of our life that may never come to pass. Francis Chan, who's a really cool dude, and if you look him up on YouTube, he's got some interesting things. But he talks about opportunity anxiety. Like, what we think is that if there's only one best possible path for our life that we have to choose, it's like choose your own adventure, pick a path type thing for us 35-ish year olds. All right, that we sometimes think of life as a tightrope. It's like, oh my goodness, and if we step to the left and we step to the right, you know, left is lava, right as spikes. Oh my goodness, okay, that sounds like that was pretty good. I'm moving through my 13. Now I'm 14. Whoa, 14 sucks. Alright. Okay, now we're getting to 15. And then it gets to a stage where we're so worried about what's gonna happen, whether we step a foot out of line or not, that eventually we just get to the point where we're just holding onto the tightrope. And we're not actually moving anywhere, we're just staying where it's comfortable. See, if we're doing that, that actually means that what we're doing is we're putting more faith in our own ability to know where we should go than when we should be placing our faith in a God who's got the best for us and the best idea for us at heart.
That's good.
See, no opportunity is wasted. Don't take missing any opportunities as a bad thing. You never know what God's trying to teach you. Okay? Brad Pitt, in the case of the curious case of Benjamin Button, puts it this way, okay? Our lives are defined by opportunities, even the ones that we miss. Okay? So what do we do about that then? Well, I'd begin to look for the doors and the opportunities that God is showing you. He'll highlight stuff. For some of us, it could be a window that's open and all the doors are shut, you know. For me, that might be a bit of a struggle to get through a window, but for all of you lovely people, like, you'll be fine climbing through a window. There are doors that he's asking us to step into, and there's doors that he'll present us with just to say, oh, look, here's another way you could have gone, but this is where we're going. Did you notice that, you know, Jesus showed Peter how to be an amazingly successful fisherman before he called him to go and do something else? It's interesting. I thought it was interesting. I guess what I'm saying is don't sacrifice the best on the altar of the good or what you can be content with. See, a safe life is not a faith-filled life. We weren't called to live a safe life. God never promised us a safe life. Netflix and chill, that's got a really bad connotation these days. A Netflix life will be comfortable but won't be the best life that we can live. Actually, there was an ad. Do you remember that TVNZ ad? And it was like, man, live the best life you can. And it was all about watching the best programs on TV. Man, that ad got my, it really got my goat. So rather than going out and doing something with your life, watch all this great drama and you can live vicariously through these other characters.
Yeah.
Rubbish. See, it's time for us to engage our faith and reach towards not only what is possible, but what is impossible without a Saviour who loves and cares for every one of us. It's important. I'll say that again. It's time for us to engage our faith and reach towards not only what is possible, but what is impossible without a Saviour who loves us and cares for us. It's okay to reach after the impossible if God's in it. What dreams has the Holy Spirit been whispering to you? And you've said, it's too big, it's too much, I can't. See, Ben Kendrew, a great friend from Arise Church, Christchurch, he's like the youth pastor there. He put it this way, if victory was assured, so if victory was 100% guaranteed, how would you approach this week?
That's good.
The challenges you face, the conversations you have, the new opportunities that come up. See, I'm speaking to myself as well, because we all come across challenges, you know, we all analyze them in a certain way. For me, it sometimes comes as anxiety because, you know, I'm putting faith in myself rather than a God who's got the best intentions for me. See, failures are, we know the outcome. Victory is assured. See, as Christians, we get to, with God's help, we get to slay the giants.
That's right.
We get to take the territory. We get to inhabit the land.
That's good.
And if we fail, well, failure's not fatal. Living in failure is fatal. Living in, off the back of one failure is fatal. Because then you're holding on to the tightrope, not moving forward, not moving backwards. See, we know how it ends. If you're not victorious at this point in time, it's not the end.
That's good.
See, for us as a church, this is the new season that we find ourselves in. We haven't come just to set foot in the land. It's not just a case, that's what we did last, you know, if we'd come and done last week and just gone, you know, we take this territory. I mean, that's a moon landing. Okay, now we're going to clear off and go home. Thanks so much, guys. Yes, we're back to Invis. We tried. It felt really good. We haven't come to conquer the land. So God calls us to be more than conquerors. It's not actually just a case of coming in and going, oh. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you know or not, but like, Brother Ray's traveling love show is not gonna, like, it's just not going to work.
Thank goodness.
Sister Shannon's maybe, Brother Ray. No, it's, you know. We need to do this together.
Yeah, that's right.
We're called to do life together. Thank goodness. We've come to inhabit the land. So now that we're here, we're going to be here for a while. We're going to journey together. Not only are we going to we're not just immigrating, we're wanting to become native to the land. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what happens when I go off my notes. So in your life, Jesus is preparing the way. That means that you can step forward with confidence. Confidence that Jesus goes before and the Good Shepherd directs your path. See, we're not called to live in the regret. We're not called to live in regret of choices made in the past or the what could have been, but we can diligently hope for the future.
That's right.
We know that the best is yet to come. We're focusing not on what was, but what is and what is to come.
That's right.
The best is yet to come. See, Hebrews 12:2 puts it so awesomely. It's really cool. So Hebrews 12:2, therefore, everyone say therefore.
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 Thanks, Cam. He's from Auckland, so a couple of seconds slower than everyone else. It's like he was caught in traffic. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, how cool is it that we get to do life together? And not only is there witnesses here in Central Otago, but there's people all around New Zealand that are cheering for us and praying for us and supporting us and giving us stuff, which is awesome,
yeah.
Like the sound system. Let us, such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Every weight that slows us down. So that's not necessarily just negative stuff. See, the thing is, if you've done something incredible in your life, that can actually weigh down on you for what's to come. Because that's what you measure it. That's what you measure yourself against sometimes. If you've already climbed a peak, you'll look back at that peak and go, man, I wish I was back there again. When actually God's got other peaks for you to climb. He's got other challenges for you to conquer, other things, other lands for you to inhabit. So let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. See, I don't know about you, but I'm not built necessarily for, like, you're never going to see me do a marathon race. I mean, it'd be hilarious if I did, but, you know, I'm not built for that kind of event. I've been custom built for my own race. I'm not custom built to run Pete's race, for goodness sakes. I'm not custom built to, for Josh's race. I can't even fit into his kayak. I can't do a wet exit if I can't do a dry entry. I've got too many Eskimo rolls. Just a little bit of kayaking humour there for you, don't worry about it. Yeah, all right. It's the benefit of having a few people in the room. You can target it specifically. Anyway.
19 minutes.
That's a solid joke. That was pretty good. All right, and let us run for run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Your race is different to my race. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's where our focus needs to be. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. It's not us that has to run the perfect race. It's not up to us. It's up to us to run, and Jesus will help us out as we go along. If I'm running a hurdle race, I'm not gonna jump over those hurdles. I'm probably going to have to run through them because that's how God built me. It's so good that we've got a champion that initiates and perfects our faith. How cool is it that we've got someone like Jesus who's cheering us on every step of the way?
Right.
See, the thing is, if that's the case, if God's got our best ideas at heart, the best interests for us at heart, then we shouldn't and we can't have a fear of the future. See, if we've got a fear of the future, we've put our faith in the wrong thing. So if we've got a fear of the future, then we don't have our faith in Jesus, because Jesus is the one he's the perfecter of our faith. All right, so here's my question for you. Where is your focus? What occupies the frame in your mind? Okay, think of it like a camera. Whatever's in the forefront of your mind, is that something which is faith-filled? Or is it safe-filled? Or you're looking at the what might be or what could be, or oh my goodness, what's going to happen? So what's filling your mind at the moment? See, my suggestion for you guys, what do we do about it? I would say you focus on the Word of God. Man, if you feed yourself on that stuff, if you feed yourself on those words, there's promises in there that will fill you with faith. You can't read the Bible in a negative sense. It's impossible to do. Even the Psalms, like David literally puts like all of, this is the stuff that I'm dealing with. By the end of the Psalms, he's jumping with joy. Allow your mind to be renewed. As you focus on God's thoughts, you will become more like him and you'll see his hand of blessing in every area of your life. So we're going to finish up in just a minute. I don't do 2.5 hour sermons, thank goodness. All right. If you've got 15 minutes worth of material, you do 15 minutes of preaching and then ask God for some. No, that's the wrong way around. You ask God for stuff, and if it's 3 minutes, it's 3 minutes. Yeah, and then get your own stuff out of the way. There's two lots of people that I'd love to pray for today. The first group is a group of people. One is the group that are stuck thinking about the what ifs. Okay, living in the if only or living in the what could have been. That's the first people I'd love to pray for. The second group of people I'd love to pray for today is the group of people that you've tried your way. You've done it in your own steam. You've done it in your own stead. And it means that your life's kind of a mess. I don't know about you. I'm so glad that I don't do life in my own steam, because I would have made a mess of it. I'd be 180 kgs. I'd be playing Xbox right now. I'd be custom ordering chicken from Alexandra and eating it by the bucket because that's the closest KFC. I'd earthworm naturally without having to go like that. So if you're in the second group of people, you've tried your way and it means your life is a mess, it's okay. We all need a saviour. We all need a saviour. We need him. We can't do life by ourselves. Jesus has a plan for your life so much greater than what you can hope or what you can imagine. It might look messy right now, but he's not finished with you yet. Amen? So guys, we're going to put some music on. Charlie, we're going to put some music on. Yeah, nice one. Oh, come on. Good on you, Charlie. You're doing such a good job. Woohoo! Go, Charlie. Well done. Good job. Do you want to pop?
Oh, you're
not telling me. Camera's offending. That's okay. We'll do an altar call next week, Charlie. It's okay. No, it's all right. Do you want to put When You Walk Into the Room on? That would be cool. So if you're one of those two, groups of people today, we'd love to pray for you. If there's any other reason you want us to pray for you, do you know what? Oh yeah, if you want to turn it down just a wee bit, Kamsky. Yeah, that'll do. That turns me down as well. But to be honest, I haven't had the microphone on the whole time. Hey, So if you're one of those two groups of people, we would love to pray for you. There's tea and coffee out there. There's biscuits and bits and pieces. We'd love to hang out. We'd love to get your details if you want to hang out with us this week or anything like that. But just for this moment right now, let's worship. And if you need prayer, come on up to the front here.